You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross, and I'm in a full room today. I'm joined by Kate, also Murray State's Multicultural Affairs Director, S.G. Carthel, and the Cinema International Coordinator, Tim Johns. Welcome both of you to Sounds Good.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Gentlemen, we have lots of territory to cover, and we're going to start with USG because the events for the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration start next Sunday, and we'd like to promo those.
Well, wonderful. First of all, great to be here and to talk about what's going on this year. We have a kind of a full complement of things going on, starting with our MLK celebration that will start on Sunday with a candlelight vigil. That will go from the Polk Library to the MLK Monument on campus. And that will be at 5 o'clock on Sunday. And then follow that up with the actual day of service community breakfast on Monday morning at 9:30 in the Kerr Center.
Do you plan on the Sunday march, will you culminate that march with a recorded speech of Martin Luther King Jr.?
We've done that in the past, and my committee, that's one of the things that we're looking at doing this year. We actually had planned that last year and had a couple of little technical difficulties, but I think we're going to be able to work that out this year and have that in addition to some reflections from some key folks that will be there. So that will probably be part of it.
I thought it was poignant and kind of wonderful to hear his voice at the memorial, so I hope you do it. Then the day of service is actually a very widespread involving project. You want to explain how people can get involved in it?
Sure. This year is a little bit different in that we typically organized a number of events and organizations came to the Kerr Center and then they dispersed out. This year we're asking groups to connect directly to United Way. They have a Get Connected piece that you can connect to online. There's a link to that from Murray State's website as well. As if you go to the main website and you click on the MLK icon, it'll take you right to it. And to connect with different organizations and just to do service throughout the day.
And you can actually, I think, maybe take the spirit of that and initiate your own day of service wherever. It's an inspirational activity that doesn't even have to be connected with Murray State University.
Exactly. It's about paying it forward. And over the few years ago, we started doing some organized things. And part of that intent is that we encourage people to do some individualized and even some spontaneous acts of service and kindness to people, not only on that day, but, you know, every day, but particularly on that day. So we hope that even though we're not coordinating a total big event, that folks will take that opportunity to pick up the phone, call folks, and give folks a ride, help someone out. If someone's a couple of pennies short in the line, give them a couple of pennies. This is so many different things you can do to do some acts of kindness. And there's still some crazy leaves and stuff out there. If you want to pick up a rake or pick up some paper and just decide to beautify or clean an area up, there's just a lot of things that people can do to pay it forward. And so that's what we're hoping folks will do.
Is Murray unusual in having the community breakfast on Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
Well, what we've typically had is Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity has historically hosted a smaller event off campus. And so we've collaborated with them starting last year to kind of increase that a little bit. When we went to the actual day of service, we did lose some of the community folks because we did our actual celebration. We did it in the afternoon, and then we had a march afterwards. So by shifting it in the morning, we lost some of the community folks. So this is also an effort to bring in more community folks, and that's going to be, again, at 9:30. Breakfast is free. We just ask if you can give us a call at 809-6836 or on the website, and you can RSVP. But that's an effort to do that. And then we've combined that with the speaker. And to motivate those folks that go out and do service throughout the day. So it's kind of a little different in the last couple of years, but I think it's been a good change.
SG, down the road, there are multiple activities that relate to diversity in our community, one of which is a film, and that's why Tim is here with the rollout of Cinema International. You two have worked together on a film, and I'd like you to talk about it.
Well, last year we did 12 Years a Slave, and SG was smart enough to get to, you know, arrange that, and he approached me, and so I want this to be a yearly thing for Cinema International. Yeah. Our film this year is Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. It's a biopic on the South African leader, Nelson Mandela. There's a little anger in South Africa about the film because it's the second film in which a non-South African actor has played the part, first Morgan Freeman, an American. And then this is Idris Elba, who I think is from West Africa. I'm not sure where he's from. He's a magnificent actor. If you've seen the series The Wire, he had one of the leading roles on The Wire, and he's since been a major figure in global cinema since then. But the dates for that are February 19th, 20th, and 21st. And I haven't told SG about this. Well, maybe I mentioned in an email, but we're hoping to schedule some events about Mandela's life and legacy during that week, maybe a panel, maybe a few documentaries about South Africa. I work in South Africa. My field is South African literature, so I have some background on that. But those will be forthcoming, and those will be posted on RacerNet, those activities during that the week leading up to the film.
So it's a pretty important film for fitting in.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And I think it's particularly with some of the challenges we're facing here in our country as it relates to, you know, Ferguson and all those things, and as it relates to even globally the issues, you know, Nelson Mandela had just such a different approach of forgiveness and of peace. And the fact that, you know, he was able to forgive folks who imprisoned him for, what, 26, 27 years, and then from that rise to be the president of the country and bring other folks together. So there is another way. And I think this movie does show that. We will also post those things on the interactive Celebrate Diversity website so folks will be able to know when those activities are going to be happening prior to the film. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really good film to for folks to get out and see because one of the things we're trying to do is to promote that, you know, there are other ways. And part of it is dialogue and talking and forgiveness and trying to connect.
South Africans were always looking across the Atlantic for leadership from American African Americans, from Marcus Garvey, all the way back to Marcus Garvey, W.E.B. Du Bois. Very early on, you know, South African Black South Africans were looking across the Atlantic to see what the kind of leadership Americans were bringing. So there was all kinds of dialogue across the Atlantic between intellectuals in South Africa and intellectuals in America.
Now, the Cinema International program starts this week with a huge film that just won, I think, its best film drama at the Golden Globes. You want to talk briefly about that and about the documentaries, because they're all dealing with diverse situations.
Sure. Actually, Boyhood is not a documentary. It's actually a fiction film, but
there
it's
you go.
Filmed.
Excuse me.
No, it's no problem. It's filmed over 12 years. By a director from Texas, and it's shot in Texas. His name is Richard Linklater, and this is really, I think, the masterpiece of his entire career. And it's you know, it's about an American boy growing up, an American family growing up. They're not a traditional family insofar as the mother has had a divorce, and all kinds of boyfriends are entering into the scene, but. It's an astonishing film in terms of just thinking about the logistics of making a film over 12 years, getting the people in the right place, making the sort of threads of the narrative continuous over that period. It's an astonishing film. And, you know, 50 years from now, people will still be watching this film as a sort of great American masterpiece.
And then the docs.
Oh, we have two documentaries. One is on Valentine's Day weekend, and that's the 12th, 13th, and 14th of February. And it's by a Canadian woman named Sarah Poley. And we like to do one movie a semester or one a year by a female director because the male directors seem to sort of hog up cinema. And it's a fascinating story about her looking at these old videotapes of her mother and trying to figure out really who her father was, because there's all these kinds of rumors of who her father was. I don't want to say more about it, but, and then our second documentary is the second to the last program. That's March 26th, 27th, and 28th after spring break. And it's called A Missing Picture, and it's by a director named Rithi Pan. And he's a Cambodian director, which is in Cambodia is a country in Southeast Asia. And the traumatic event for Cambodian history, recent Cambodian history, is the Khmer Rouge genocide, in which one of eight Khmers were killed, that was precipitated by the illegal bombing of Cambodia by Richard Nixon. But anyway, in this film, it's a very interesting film insofar as the characters are these claymation figures that are individually crafted, and it's a kind of a rehearsal of the sort of trauma of the Khmer Rouge years, and those are 1975 to 1979. But he's really one of the most innovative directors in the world. His earlier films were interviews with the guards at the prison camps where the people were exterminated, which was a kind of, if you know Hannah Arendt's phrase, the banality of evil, really brought that out. But this is even more interesting in the way that he sort of stages the trauma of the Khmer Rouge massacre. It's a beautiful, beautiful, haunting film.
So, you know, both of our guests today offer you opportunities to engage in thinking about diversity at no charge. Cinema International movies are Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights at the Kura Center. They're free, 7:30 start time. And everything that is going on through the Marvin Mills Cultural Diversity Center is...
Everything's free.
Everything's
open to the
free.
Public, yes.
And I want to get you to speak to the major event coming up later in the spring.
We have a race and ethnicity conference that we're going to be hosting here. And it's basically racial legacies and learning. And it's a symposium we're going to be doing on how to talk about race. And so we've invited some scholars from across the state and across the country to come in, and notably Jacoby Williams, who is going to be our keynote for our town hall. It's a luncheon. And we're going to stream this live, so particularly the luncheon session right now, and we're working on the plenary sessions being streamed live. And so the content of the symposium will be our presenters will come and they will frame the topic areas, politics, education, community, respectively. And then we're going to talk about solutions and ways to come together. So, and then they'll, in the absence of discussion, they'll have more information to give. But the idea is that we come out of this with some ideas of how we can come together, how we can talk better about issues of race and in our communities, and having a little bit more information on the context of kind of all these issues. There will also be a poster session where we've got about 33 students right now signed up to do poster sessions. They're going to be looking at research as it relates to race and ethnicity, and they'll be partnered with a faculty member. So we're real excited about that, that going on. And so these entire proceedings, you know, will be made available. We're going to publish these things. So it's going to be really great opportunity for Murray State to kind of set the standard on how we begin to discuss these issues and come up with some solutions, even if it's just solutions on how we can enhance our own community here, but also bringing some folks in that can come in and help frame the conversation so folks can feel free and comfortable to come in and really talk about what challenges they see as it relates to our race and ethnicity issues, because diversity is a very broad thing. But one of the difficult core issues of diversity, and we have a few, is women's issues, obviously, LGBT issues, and, you know, and race and ethnicity. Those are some of the core things. You know, I'm not a very tall guy, you know, and so sometimes, you know, there could be issues of all the short guys in the world and people being discriminated against all the short
hilarious.
Folks, right? You know, but, you know, odds are I'm going to have more issues about being an African-American male than I am going to be the short guy in the room. But maybe me and three or four other short guys in the room can take some common ground and we can move forward in that direction, because oftentimes we're more alike than we are different. And so part of the Race and Ethnicity Conference will be to really come together and have some real discussion and also have some real answers that an intellectual community, as you mentioned, I think there's an expectation for us to be able to have discussions about these things. And if no one can talk about these issues, we ought to be able to do it on our college campuses. And then we're sending our students and those of us who have already completed college, we're back in our communities. And I think our communities rely on us, as W.E. Du Bois talked about the talented tens. They rely on us to come back and help frame some of these things. And I think oftentimes there's an absence of discussion or input from those who have been to college and have some experience in processing issues and processing conflict and all of those things. And I think we need to use this as a tool to help our students understand that they have a role in doing that when they go home and around the dinner tables and when they're discussing things with their families, being able to put another perspective on the table about these issues. And while it may not change everything, as we know, if you keep hearing something over and over and over again, at some point people begin to believe it, right? So we know that works in other areas. We need to start taking some of those same things and saying, okay, let's say, you know, we can get along. Let's say that we keep saying we can get along. If we keep saying that we're more alike than we are different, if we just keep saying there's more positive than negatives and then keep enhancing those things and working together, then at some point, you know, some people are going to begin to believe that maybe that just might be the case and we can begin to move the needle. You know, if I believe that my value is just as important as your value and my life is just as important as your life, and if we just keep saying that enough and we believe it, then we just realize that some things are just universal. And part of the discussion is race is a social construct. You know, we created race, okay? And so because of that, you know, sometimes we think that it's something that just happened by osmosis and a person is a certain color, so therefore they're a certain way. And that's not true. You know, there's a lot of environmental things that come into play. But on a college campus, we ought to be able to have these discussions, and people should feel comfortable with being able to come forward and say, well, I didn't know this, or I wasn't aware of this. Well, this is how we can begin to discuss that. So that's what we want to do. And so really, as opposed to having some people coming in and just talking, and then people leave, we want some dialogue, some conversation. So we're bringing some very, very qualified people who can come in and talk for an hour if they needed to. But their goal is to come in and facilitate discussion amongst our community. So we're hoping for a very diverse group of folks to come out. The time frame is going to be on April the 3rd. The conference will start around 8 o'clock. And we have three plenary sessions, and they'll be scheduled kind of on the class schedule between 8:30, 9:30, and 9:30, 10:30, 10:30, 11:30. And then we'll have our poster session, and then we'll have the luncheon that will be streamed. Now, we have limited the luncheon to about 150 people. So please RSVP, get online, and if you want to be there. And we kind of did that because we want to make sure we have that kind of town hall feel. So we didn't want it too large of a sure. group so that we can facilitate some dialogue there. But there'll be some really key folks there. And Dr. Williams, we have a link to him. So if you want to know where he's at, he's put out a great book about the bullet to the ballot and talking about relations issues and relations to politics in Chicago. And if you are curious as to, you know, the presidential election and how did President Obama win the election and how did all these different groups come together and support one person? Well, this was a ticket from history that he took, and Jacoby really researches that and talks about how various different groups that had really nothing in common came together because they were experiencing some of the same hardships in their communities and how that brought together to affect political change in Chicago. And so that's where his research is and talks about that. And so he's been here before. For one of my conferences, and I asked him if he would come back now that he's selling books and selling out places, and he's coming back to Murray for us because of the relationship we have. And I think that's the other important part of these types of things that provides networking opportunities for our students as well as folks in our communities to be able to come in and connect and network with folks. So we're real excited about what's going to be happening.
We'll be back in touch with you about getting those authors here. And
wonderful.
That's the what you said about realizing you're more alike than different. I think that's the real magic of Cinema International as well. When you experience another culture in a film, you get another sense of whether or not you want to go there whether or not you want to explore the literature, and realizing that we're all human. And I think Tracy Ross has some music to play and would like to do that. And we're going to say thank you very much for coming this morning. And as I said, we'll be updating all of our listeners on further activities that both of you are involved in. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is WKMS. Our channels and web service are part of the educational mission of Murray State.